just a little bit of a review from last week. We talked about the fact that there are basically 3 days that cover from Genesis 1:1 through the end of times. God's day, which started in Genesis 1:1, and man's day was introduced when Adam and Eve decided to sin against God by disobeying his command. It's really important, and I want to emphasize this again and again, that we understand that the first 10 chapters of the Genesis record are actually the truth. We live in a day and age where people are saying, well, everything in Genesis, the first 10 chapters is basically mythology or symbolical. But if that's true, what about the rest of the Bible? If we can't accept Genesis, the first 10 chapters, we can't accept anything. So it's really important that we understand man's day was introduced when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And we are still in man's day. And I suggested last week that the scripture says that during man's day, people decide for themselves what's right and what's wrong. They decide that they are going to do this or that regardless of what the scripture says. And that's kind of the day that we live in today. And then the last day is the Lord's day. And that begins in Genesis 4th chapter in the first verse where the scripture says, come on up here, John, and I'll show you what must take place after these things. And that is coming. You need to read that over and over because it's coming. You think we have difficulties today? Hang on to your boots. Because it's going to come in wave after wave after wave. I don't want to be pessimistic, and I don't want us to be fearful, because God is in all of it. And the scripture says he will protect us, he will keep us. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his marvelous purposes. So this morning, we want to take a look at Luke 17. I forgot about the rapture. That's part and parcel of the Lord's day. And last week we talked about the power of lightning. And whenever we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the scripture talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's always in reference to lightning. And we pointed out how powerful lightning is. One lightning bolt could lift a car 62 miles straight up in the air. So Christ's coming for some will be like a thief in the night because they aren't looking for it. They don't believe he's really going to come. It's like 1 Peter says, there are those who just hook their thumbs under their suspenders and say, well, it's all the same. He's never going to come. But I want you to know he is. And that's going to be, he doesn't have to come as a thief in the night for you. The scripture says, because you are of the light, you're of the day, and you should have some perception of the season. We can never know the date, but we can have some perception of the season of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what we want to look at this morning from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Just as it was in the days of Noah, that should be an interesting thought to us, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. What were people doing in the days of Noah? Eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting, building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on a roof of his house with his goods inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Why should we remember Lot's wife? Let me emphasize that the Bible says in several places that none of us can know the date or the hour in which the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And if you find somebody who sets a date, you know that they are way off the base. But we can know the general season. There are some things that were going on in Luke, the 17th chapter, in the days of Noah, in the time of Lot, that are similar to the days in which we live. And the scripture says, when you see that, when you understand that there's similarity between our culture and our world, you better be prepared for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not going to be a time when Jesus says, well, I'm going to come, get yourself ready. For many, it will just be like a thief in the night, not being expected at all. So, in the time of Noah and in the time of Lot, in Sodom and Gomorrah, the scripture says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. And here's the thing. I can't even understand this, but I'm beginning to. And that every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. All the time. Yeah, they were doing eating, drinking, marrying, and so forth. But the thought of their hearts, both in the time of Noah and in Sodom and Gomorrah, was basically evil all the time. Sodom and Gomorrah was a very evil place. There was deviant behavior of all kinds. Sex with beasts. Sex with the dead. Sex with one another. Men and women. Using their bodies with each other. That wasn't too exciting for God. When Lot and his wife and his two daughters left, they had to be dragged out by two angels. Lot was undoubtedly single when he wound up in Sodom. And so he married a woman from Sodom. And she loved Sodom. The only reason that she was going to escape what was going to happen to Sodom is because she was married to Lot. And Lot was, well, somewhat righteous. He had two daughters. And so God was going to deliver them. It's interesting when you stop and think about it. Here's the problem, and it's the problem of our day. The people lived as if nothing was wrong. And that's us. We just go through life. We see all of these things that are going on in our world. And we are so involved with what we do and what we think that we don't think anything is wrong. If you want to do this, fine, because everything is relative. But that's not what the scripture says. According to the scripture, some things are right and some things are wrong. And until we can come to grips with that, we're just going to be like the days of Noah or the time of Sodom and what happened to them. Because that's what they did. Anything you want to do, you do. There's no right, there's no wrong, there's just whatever you decide in your own heart and in your own mind. Does that sound like America today? Yeah. Does that sound like America today?
Yes.
Pretty much. Here's what the scripture says. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. You think inflation is going to stop pretty soon? Doesn't seem like it. When you're paying $10 for a dozen eggs, you're going to be in trouble. How much will gas cost us pretty soon? Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days, but these last days are nothing compared to what the book of Revelation is all about. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Holding to a form of godliness, what does that mean? Well, you know, we're pretty ritualistic here. What if next Sunday we no longer had bulletins? Would some of you have a cardiac arrest? You know, that day may be coming when a lot of things will change. We spend a lot of money on these bulletins, and our secretary spends a lot of time putting them together. Things may change in the future because of what's happening in our country and in our area. He says, holding to a form of godliness, but denying its power. The scripture says, avoid such as these. Listen. We have to have more than ritual. We cannot deny the power of God. And when I think of Noah. You know how long he preached? Somebody, how long did Noah preach? 120 years. Think of that. He preached righteousness for 120 years and nobody responded. 120 years. And they laughed down at the bar. They told jokes about Noah left, right, and center. Everybody on the street said, that foolish old man is out there building this stupid ark. Why, it's never ever rained here. Why would you build? I don't even know if they knew what a boat was. But whatever he was building, they made fun of it. Until it started to rain. All of a sudden, they changed their mind. 120 years, bad-mouthing Noah, and then the rains came, and the flood came, a universal flood. And wiped everything out. Wow. God offers us a choice when judgment comes. Even though he brought judgment upon the Noahic world and Sodom and Gomorrah, he always offers us a choice of deliverance. Before God destroyed the world with the flood, he delivered Noah and his family in the ark. There's always deliverance if we'll look for it, accept it, and find it. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, but there was deliverance for Lot, his wife, and two daughters. But he said, when you leave Sodom and Gomorrah, don't look back. Now, Lot's wife, who was born and raised in Sodom, loved the place. And so there they are. By the way, the two angels that came had to drag them out of Sodom. That gives us an idea of the fact that they really did like Sodom, and especially Mrs. Lot. So God said, don't look back, because the minute you're out of here, I'm going to destroy the place with fire and brimstone. And God did that. And guess what? Mrs. Lot looked back. And you know what? She's the salt of the earth. I don't want to be that kind of salt. I want to be the salt of the earth that's a preservative of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not what happened to Mrs. Lot. We should remember Lot's wife, because there's a parallel. There are many today who think that the United States of America, by the way, it's not found in Scripture. The USA is not found in Scripture. There are those who believe that the United States of America is the same as Babylon. And there wasn't too much good came out of Babylon. In Revelation 18:4, here's what the scripture says. Come out of her, my people, talking about God's people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues. Whoa. How many plagues have we had in the United States? And we're all familiar with the most recent one, this whole COVID mess. I don't want to get into that because somebody would stone me afterwards. So why did the Lord warn us to remember her? Because it's hard for us to turn loose of those things that we love that are not pleasing to the Lord. And so we just want to remember what happened to Lot. Represents people who have a superficial interest in God and the Bible. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand. No. How many of you read your Bible every day this week? Some of you have, but a lot of us haven't. This book is written to us for our salvation. And for the way we live, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we treat one another. Extremely difficult. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He knows every action. He knows every thought. He knows every word. We cannot hide from God. There's a neat passage of Scripture in 1 John 2, 15 through 7. Do not love the world, and by that world, it should be translated system. Do not love the system or anything in the system. And we have a system. For everything in the world or system, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives for a short period of time. How long?
Forever.
Amen to that. In the book of Romans, three times in three different passages of Scripture, it says God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. God will give you over to whatever you want to do if you want to be that way. God is not forcing any of us to be anything. He offers us free salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ, and the opportunity to study God's Word and to live according to God's Word. That's what he offers to each and every one of us. That's what he offers to the world. Be on guard, be alert, keep watch. About that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner will come back, in the evening or at midnight or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. We're all familiar with buzzards, aren't we? You know, you go to the city and you talk to people about a buzzard and they have no idea what you're talking about. This little boy grew up in the Midwest. His father was a pastor, and many times he would ride with his dad in the pickup. And one day they saw all of these buzzards flying around. And the little guy said, what's the buzzards all about? And Dad explained to him that a buzzard is always looking for some dead meat. Or if they see an animal that's about to die, they fly around until the animal is dead, and then they come and have a meal. Well, the little boy got really interested in buzzards, and he thought, I'd really like to catch one. But how do I catch a buzzard? So when he got home, as he thought about this, he went into the kitchen and got some ketchup and spread it all over his white T-shirt, went down and laid in the backyard, and he figured that if a buzzard came, he would catch the buzzard and be able to examine it. Well, his mother looked out the window and saw him covered in blood. She ran out there and discovered it was ketchup. And in the end, he got it, but the buzzard never did come. So it's one thing. And the scripture does say that observe the buzzards. When you start seeing those buzzards, things are going to take place. Now, I'm going to close in just a minute. So, the point of Bible prophecy is to assure us Jesus is going to return. We don't know when, but we can understand the general season. But there are many who believe that before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, and I don't know whether this is true or false, but there are some scriptures that might indicate that before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to have a major revival. Acts, the second chapter, 17 through 21. Now, this is the beginning of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he starts with a question from the book of Joel. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens. How many of you saw the blood red moon? How many of you saw the red skies in China? Start looking to the heavens. You'll see an awful lot that's going on in the heavens. And that's what the scripture says. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. So there are some things that we can look at and be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which leads me to the last point. We need to share this with everybody. Ask God to put on your heart somebody who will listen to you share with them the gospel of Christ. How that Christ came, was crucified, buried in the tomb, resurrected on the third day. And personally, simply be ready. Remember what the scripture says? There'd be a couple of guys out in the field running some of these huge tractors, you know. I couldn't even start one of these tractors. But two guys out there with these big tractors, one will be taken. I don't know what will happen to the tractor, but the other one will be left. Two people laying in bed, a husband and a wife. The wife has been praying for her rockhead husband for years and years, but he's not a believer. She'll be taken, he'll be left. Over and over the scripture says that's how it's going to be when the Lord returns, and it's going to take place that fast, in the blinking of an eye. So when you turn around and one of your friends is gone, or you're gone, don't be surprised, because that's what the scripture says is going to happen. So, folks, we live in perilous times, but there's so much good about it. God offers us a way out constantly and continually. And if you need to take that advantage today, we would certainly invite you to come, open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, I love you, Lord. I'm a sinner, but I want to receive you as my personal Savior and become a Christian. So, if that's your situation, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation. He keeps me singing. So, let's be standing and sing.